Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Brad Culp. It's August 3rd. We have a more intimate group in the studio this morning. We have just me and Sam Grass and Lee Cantor. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Brad. How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. Mm-hmm. I don't usually get nervous on this show, but now there's this big sign that says right. On air.
That's it. It changes everything, doesn't it?
It does. Suddenly you think, oh my gosh, it's real. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about being real, but it does add pressure to you.
That's good. That's why I like to keep you guys on your toes. And I thought I'd like to keep you on your toes even more. I thought I'd kind of flip the table on you and interview you and tell us about Griswold Special Care. You know, they're the sponsor of the show. They've been sponsoring it for years now. And I thought we'd kind of spend some time and discuss Griswold, your involvement with Griswold, and kind of what makes it special and why people should care about it.
You guys, that sounds terrific. Yeah, absolutely.
More pressure.
More pressure on you guys. I hope you prepared.
It's different sitting on this side of the table.
Exactly. I got all the questions here.
You're sitting on the same side of the table.
Now, let's get, you know, we do this every week, and one of the first things we ask our guests are their background and why they got into what they're doing. So you guys want to take a stab at that? Who should I start out with, Brad? Who's going to be first in this?
I can go first. Grew up on the West Coast and moved to Chicago my senior year in high school, something I continue to hold over my parents' heads.
Did they move with you, or that was just you?
They went with me, but I think they maybe wanted to send me somewhere. But in any event, went to undergraduate at a small private school in Indiana called Taylor University, got a business degree there. And worked for a few years for IBM and then went on to grad school at Indiana University and got an MBA there. Spent most of my career in consulting and ended up having an opportunity to take a stock payout, and my wife and I wanted to buy a company. And so we started looking around. We spent about 6 months looking at everything from aircraft seat manufacturer to a boat dealer to
what was your criteria of choosing?
Well, interesting you ask, because it really is how we ended up where we are. What I had told the broker is I'm looking for a business that has an owner that's maybe ready to retire, maybe is somewhat underutilized from a marketing perspective, but has an outstanding reputation. And so we went through this process for a number of months and then kind of gave up because we really couldn't find what we were looking for. But
you didn't know what you were looking for.
We didn't know. Right, exactly. It's one of those things where I don't know what I'm looking for, but I know what I'm not looking for.
And you'll know when you find it.
And every time the broker would present something, I would say, I don't know what I'm looking for, but this ain't it. So we kind of gave up on it for a while A number of months passed, and the broker called me back and said, hey, I've got something for you. And he described this opportunity with Griswold Special Care. And the owner was in her late 60s. She and her daughter had been running the business for about a decade and had built a really solid reputation for delivering high-quality service at an affordable price. And you know, when he first mentioned it to me, I said, no, that's just not me. I'm a business guy, I'm a consultant, and my compassion level is taking these profile tests, it barely registers. So this isn't the business for me.
Right.
But my wife, on the other hand, is a natural caregiver, and she had delivered care to a number of ladies that had suffered from cancer and had nurtured them, you know, through to the end. And so she was kind of attracted to it. And the more we talked, the more we realized that this was an opportunity for us to get me off the road and to really kind of combine business and mission. And you know, so to make an impact on people's lives as opposed to just, you know,
making money. Now, what was that a big? I know mentally that must have been a big shift because they don't teach you that in business school, do they?
It was a huge shift for me personally. Interestingly enough, going to grad school and when I came out, I did a lot of work that was highly technical, and I never really used what I learned in grad school. But coming in and running a small business was very, very different, and I'd been used to dealing with staff of hundreds and budgets of millions, and you know, coming into a small business where every dime that I spent took away from the bottom line. That was a big change.
Right. Now, what was it like that first day walking in there? And you know, I'm sure you had to meet with these people to see if it was a right fit, and they had to show you around, and they introduced you to their staff, and they kind of probably walked you through a customer or two. What was that? I mean, were you just like freaking out, nervous, or?
No, it felt real natural. You know, the consulting business basically is a simple business. You have clients that have needs. You have consultants that have skills. The business is all about matching the consultants with the clients,
right.
Manage your bench, and collect your AR.
Right.
As it turns out, Griswold Special Care and the home care business is very,
similar.
Very similar. You have clients that have needs. You have caregivers that have certain skills. You manage the bench. You collect your AR. That's the business. The difference, of course, is the product that's delivered and
right.
the fact that you're able to positively impact people's lives.
Right. Now, and that is a big shift. I mean, when you were doing your consulting in these big firms, these aren't, you know, somebody's grandma. And, you know, the tears are flowing. I'm sure you had a lot less tears in the consulting days than you do in your days at Griswold.
Oh, for sure. Although I think many of the tears that we shed are on the caregiver side because we wish they'd behave themselves. But, no, we've got a terrific group of caregivers, and they do a great job and impact the lives of their clients
right.
in
isn't
a very positive
more,
way.
Isn't it more intimate?
Very much so. Very much so. I mean, we have, even though we have a lot of caregivers, the office staff itself is a small, intimate group. So it is very different, and running that group is just not the same as running a large group with consultants. And the people that staff the office have a tendency to be more of the caregiver mindset. They're much more people persons. They're compassionate and sympathetic, and so my former method of operating a business just didn't really apply.
Right. So you had to kind of evolve.
I have evolved, yes.
Now, was your wife actively involved in the business? Is she actively involved now?
She was and is. Early on, she was involved very deeply, and then as we started to hire more office staff, she kind of backed away. And you'll talk to Sam in a minute, but you know, Sam came in as a partner, and she backed away further. Recently, though, in the last 6 to 8 months, she's come back into the business and is still working in the business now.
Now, what's it like working with your wife? Was it what you imagined?
Isn't it time to talk to Sam? We have different roles in the business.
Sure.
And so it's really pretty easy. She's a very organized person. She's very process-oriented. And so she brings a level of organization and discipline to the office that I could never bring.
Sure.
So, you know, and I have a tendency to kind of work behind the scenes. I handle all the financials, but then I also work out of the office and go visit clients
right.
and all that good stuff. So
it's been, overall, you think it's been a positive thing to your life, having Griswold in your life?
Oh, absolutely. It's been a little over 8 years since we purchased the business in Atlanta. We also started a business in Dallas a year later, which is still going. And a couple of years later, we started a business in Charleston, which we have since sold. But I love being in business for myself. I love doing what I'm doing, and I love having the opportunity to have an impact on people's lives.
Now, how did you uncover Sam? How did he enter the picture?
I'll let Sam tell that story. Well, that's not to usurp your role as interviewer, but Sam, why don't you tell us about your background?
Well, I from the time I was in college through my undergraduate years at West Virginia University into my initial professional career for 20 some years, I'd have always been involved in healthcare in one manner or another. So unlike Brad, I had a very good idea about what this business was going to require from my standpoint and how to do that. I guess my interest in home care began sometime in my mid-30s, maybe late-30s, working in large healthcare groups. I did a lot of traveling, and I can distinctly remember driving numerous times to these clients on the interstate, several hours drive, and dreaming about what I wanted to do. Or
when you grew up.
When I grew up, there you go. And it always came.
He's still dreaming, by the way.
It always came back to two issues or two arenas, and that were the elderly, my parents' generation, that World War II greatest generation arena, and the youth. And so I always wanted to do something in one or the other. As healthcare, as everyone knows, I recognized where healthcare was going about 10 years ago. And honestly was tired of fighting the battle and not having any actual effect on the issue, and started looking at opportunities in the senior market. Made the decision that I was going to go into the senior care arena, explored a number of possibilities, different companies.
So what do you think, you were looking at it as an entrepreneurial opportunity, or you were trying to get a job at one of these big companies?
No, I was an entrepreneur from an owner, an agency. Yeah, that's right. What I was looking for. I wanted to work directly with seniors. I wanted to be able to give back to a generation of my parents who blessed me.
Right.
And I'm still committed to that, but that's what drove me. Again, doing my due diligence, a mutual friend of Brad and I's told me, you need to go talk to Brad Culp. I didn't know who he was. The friend said, he is in the business. And I said, okay. So I did a little research, and long story short, called Brad, introduced myself, and suggested that we meet, that I'd like to speak with him. Before I hung up, though, I told him, I said, Brad, now you know, I'm thinking about opening up my own agency, so we're liable to be competitors. But he didn't flinch. He said, that's fine. So we met. And
so he wasn't scared by you?
No, wasn't frightened by the competition at all.
Because at that time, there weren't as many people doing your service, right?
There weren't as many as today, but it was still a very, very robust type of of environment. There were a number of new companies opening up virtually weekly,
right.
And that still remains true.
Well, and I also knew that if I met him and I realized he was going to be a threat and compete against me, there was always misdirection. So.
And maybe that's what this has been for 5 years. But nevertheless, we spoke. Brad was very upfront with me, very cordial. We probably spoke for an hour and a half the first meeting. He probably suggested that we meet again in about a week. We did so, and we went through that process for about 4 to 5 meetings. And after about the fourth or fifth meeting, I guess he was satisfied with who I was and what my true intentions were. And at the end of the meeting, he looked at me and he said, Sam, how set are you to doing this on your own? And it caught me off guard. I wasn't prepared for that. So, I'm not necessarily set on that idea. So what do you have in mind? And he proposed that we start talking about doing some type of partnership. And that's what began the relationship, and that's how it began.
Mm-hmm.
And it has worked out very well. Two different individuals, much of the same character, different skill sets. I like to be out in front of people. I like to perform. Brad really likes to run the business and he's very good at that. I don't worry about the money because Brad has his hands around it, so I know from a financial standpoint we're fine. He pretty well lets me go out and market as I see fit, obviously with some guidance and there. But it works out really, really well.
Now, now that you guys have been working together for a while, how have you seen the industry as a whole change?
I think the industry is on the verge of changing dramatically because I see long-term care, senior long-term care, as being a critical a situation that's about to reach critical mass. I believe firmly that long-term care is going to face the same financial challenges, more of the challenges, than healthcare is today. And I went through the 25 years of healthcare in managed care to where we are today. And I believe that it's going to change dramatically, not only in delivery of services, but in the economics of it.
Now, has Griswold changed in the 5 years you've been there? Has your service stayed pretty much the same?
I'll answer that. We have the corporate entity has changed in that the Griswold story, in short, is that there was a woman, Jean Griswold, in the early 80s who was the wife of a Presbyterian minister up in the Philadelphia area, and in her husband's church there was a woman who was a shut-in, and she had a private caregiver, and the private caregiver took ill and stopped going to visit her client, and nobody knew this. And ultimately, the client died of dehydration. And so Jean said, this is never going to happen again in my husband's church. And so she started a small business called the Overnight Sitter Service. And essentially, it was just somebody to be there overnight. And back in 1982, this was one of the first of its kind. There was almost nobody in this industry. And her commitment, you know, she got very busy very quickly, and before she knew it, she had five offices, and they made a commitment early on to finding the right people to run these offices, and then having them put their own skin in the game. So rather than having a national management structure, a big company, a la, you know, IBM, they wanted to have a company where they had individual owners that were absolutely committed to their clients and committed to the same ideals that she was committed to, which those haven't changed. You know, the commitment to high quality, affordable care, that really has been our mantra since the beginning. It continues to be. And for us as office owners, we're the ones that implement that. 2 years ago, the Griswold family sold the corporate entity, so we've seen some changes as a result of that. Certainly, they've moved in a direction that is more corporate and more professional, which has its advantages, taking advantage of technology and building a more robust set of owners that can support national initiatives. That's positive, but the corporate nature of it remains at the corporate level. So for us, it really hasn't changed. We are still committed to finding the very best caregivers, delivering the very best care that we can, and keeping it affordable for our clients.
Now, if somebody's in the process of shopping this, how do you choose one over another? I mean, you open up the Yellow Pages, and there's a gazillion of you guys.
Yeah, that's a great question, and I think that the best answer to that is ask a lot of questions and talk to as many resources as you possibly can. Everyone that I talk to and I tell them the industry I'm in, they say, oh, that's a great industry. It's only going to get big, and it
exactly.
is.
I mean,
it
it's is. Just, I mean, you just look around.
The potential is huge, but everyone recognizes that. And there are numerous people out there trying to provide services in the same manner as we do, some very successful. But you have to ask the right questions and find out what the past history of the organization is. And obviously that will tell you a lot.
I would also add to that, it's important for clients to have a proper expectation of the service that they're going to be able to acquire for their loved one. And it's something, you know, we actually kind of blew right through this without talking about what we actually do. And what we do is provide non-medical assistance in the home wherever a client calls home, and categorized in three areas: personal care, which the state defines as anything that requires us to touch a client, light housekeeping, and companionship services, which could include errands or transportation or preparing a meal. Those things are defined by the state, and in order to provide personal care, a company like ours is required to be licensed by the state. So on the one end, you've got a minimum set of credentials to be able to provide personal care services. On the other end, there needs to be an expectation of what the limits are, and understanding that we can't provide medical care, that that is the realm of home health or a nurse or a doctor's services. And when a client comes into a relationship with a company like ours, A, they need to understand what can be delivered, what should be delivered, and the requirements or the credentials that a company is going to have. But they also need to understand what they can't do, and if a company is providing services that are not proper, you know, that would be a cause of concern too, because they're not insured for that. They're not trained, for example, to administer medication. It's prohibited by the state, but there are people that do it. And there are no prohibitions for a private caregiver to do that, but it can be very dangerous if you're dealing with something like morphine, a liquid medicine that's easy to OD on or difficult to measure. It could be a real problem.
Now, are you allowed to say, "Hey, Mrs. Smith, did you take your medication?"
You know, it's funny. And Brad and I've had several conversations over the last weeks about this. You know, we live in a society that's based upon freedom economics. You have the right to own and operate a business as long as it was in the definitions of the law. And the regulations to do so, as you read them, sometimes are very vague. Are not specific. What Brad was specifically speaking to there is, as he was saying, we cannot, by regulatory statute, deliver skilled medical care. And in regards to medication, we cannot dispense or administer medication.
Right.
Dispensing is pretty simple. You can't measure dosage. But dispensing is another issue, and the regs say that the client must be a willing participant in this manner. So, okay, let's define what that means. You know, do they acknowledge that you're going to take the medication? Do they acknowledge they have to physically be part of the act?
Right.
Do they just have to open their mouth? I mean, it's gray, and that's where we always get into a discussion about what we can do. I mean, you do absolutely, each situation is different.
Sure.
It's not a blanket policy for the whole population. That's really where Brad is going with that. And clients have to understand that if they're going to live in this country as it's set forth, that there's not going to be an authority, and whether it be state, local, or national, that's going to define every possibility. I mean, we would live in a
right.
dictatorship if there was.
And the recommendation there for our clients is just be, actually for families of clients, is be involved in the care. You know, it's really important that there are family members that are looking in on their loved ones. And we do have clients that have nobody to look in on them, and we try to play the role as much as we can.
But there's limitations,
the
right?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And that's, like you were saying, that you have to manage the expectations of your client.
I told one of our office staff yesterday, we're not in the caregiver business. We're in the family counseling business. And I think probably as much as what we do revolves around that, because family members don't understand it. I mean, you can be dealing with the sibling, the attorneys, and you've got to sit down and say, but regulations prohibit us
right,
from going to this route. And, of course, their concern is, well, mom needs this.
Right.
Well, then you got to say, well, either you have to find someone privately do it or bring in a skilled nurse at whatever $25, $26, $27 an hour.
Right.
So they get caught in the bind there.
And especially if they're not even there. I mean, how many people, like I know my dad lives in Florida.
Absolutely.
I mean, I live in Georgia. So there's not much I can do from here.
Right.
Sam brings up an interesting point, which is that the caregivers are the ones that are really providing the care. Sam and Lisa and the rest of our office staff, they're not in the care provider business per se. When a family hires a private caregiver, they're hiring a caregiver to do the duties that our caregiver would also do, but they're on their own to handle all the other issues, the counseling that Sam was referring to, the management of the schedule and understanding, you know, when is it time for there to be more service? What do we do about whatever situation?
Right.
And what, you know, providing some accountability for the service. And that is really what we do. It's more about serving the family and providing that counseling than it is about delivering the care, because that's in the hands of the caregiver.
Sure.
And it's all
now can we go through a scenario, like somebody calls you up, they have a situation where maybe their parent or maybe the spouse of somebody needs your service. What do you guys have a questionnaire or a checklist to go through to kind of educate them and manage their expectations? How does that first intake work?
Yeah, there is a form that we use as a, it's not a guide. I mean, I've done it so much now that I very seldom use the form, but it's pretty simple. Someone will call, and in most cases they're worn out. They know they've hit the wall. They need help, and so I will begin by, well, you know, Mrs. Call, tell me about your mother. Just talk to me about your mother. And that immediately they start, well, you know, she's defiant, she won't take her medication. You start down that road. And it's the typical, in my view, it's the typical marketing sales position. Listen, ask a few questions, and listen. And if you do that, then you get, after about 5 to 10 minutes, you realize what the needs are. And I go from there. Again, tell us about the physical condition of your mother. Tell us about her mental state. Is she receptive to this idea?
Right.
Where does she reside? Is she in her home? Is she not? Is she with you? What's her mobility like? What does she do in the course of a day? What activities would you like to see her participate in?
Right.
Would you like for her to get out to socially? Do you want the caregiver to be involved with doctor's appointments and transportation to those appointments and things of that nature? Pretty simple once you do it about 50 times, and after you get to do it about 1,000 times, you can almost do it while you're asleep.
So then you're kind of, when they're telling you all these issues, you're kind of mapping out what would be the best plan for them.
Yeah.
And what are some of the choices of plans? Is it like something like an hour a day? Is it 10 hours a day? Is it 24 hours a day?
One of the differences with our company, and it's, a, you know, in general in our industry, when you look at the healthcare industry, it's typically a prescription model. And, you know, a doctor or a nurse or a physical therapist is telling a client what to do. Our approach is consumer-driven, and so we're looking at the client's requirements and their needs, as Sam was saying, and tailoring a service to meet their needs exactly. So whether they need a couple hours a day, a couple days a week, or whether they need 24-hour care, we're providing the service that they need. And we will coach and counsel families if they don't know what they need. But we always want to make sure that the client is kind of in control of the definition of their service. So one of the differences for us, we don't take money up front. We don't have a contract term. It doesn't make sense to us in this business. We want our clients to be happy with the service that we provide. We run a referral business. At the end of the day, nobody knows really about us unless somebody tells them something about us. And you know, it's like anything. If you're looking for a dentist or a doctor or, you know, a piano tuner, you want a reference from somebody that can say, I know a guy or I know a company that does a great job. I have a great doctor. Why don't you try this doctor? And we're no different. So we try to make every experience a great experience for our clients, and we try to listen to them and provide exactly what they need.
Well, that's great. Now, if you had a piece of advice for a family member that's in that situation we described where they're in need, what would that piece of advice be?
Often the first call that we get from a client or a client's family member is somebody, as Sam alluded to earlier, that's burned out, that's panicked about what do we do? You know, mom's coming home from the rehab on Friday. It's now Thursday, or maybe it's even Friday. What do I do? And we pride ourselves in being able to respond quickly, even the same day. But our best piece of advice to families is to plan in advance. Because when you don't plan in advance and you're in an emergency situation, you're kind of forced to settle for whoever answers the phone when you call. And if they're lucky, they'll call a firm like ours, and there are many others in the Atlanta area that are very good. But you don't have the time to really check out the service that you're going to be hiring. And let's face it, you're asking somebody to come into your parents' home or your home, and they are in a frail state, potentially easy to take advantage of. So you really ought to be doing your planning. So the advice is plan in advance so that you don't have to settle later.
And I'll add to that. I have to agree wholeheartedly. You know, even we want to provide the service and the right level of service, and that takes some time. Now, we can react fairly quickly, but it takes, you know, to do it properly a day or 2 days to wade through the issues. The last thing you want is to have to knee-jerk the situation and what I typically call is throw a body at the client, and that's not what we're about. That's not what we want. That's not good for anyone, client, the children, or us.
That's great advice. Now, if somebody wants to learn more about Griswold, what's the best way to find out more? Do you guys have a website, or you have a local Atlanta website, or the national Griswold?
We do. We have a local website. It's www.gscatlanta, GSC as in Griswold Special Care, atlanta.com. There is a national website. If a loved one resides outside the Atlanta area, it's griswoldspecialcare.com. We can be reached in our offices at 770-908-0707, and a live person's going to answer that phone 24 hours a day, 365.
Good stuff, guys. Well, I think that wraps up this Griswold special. Do you guys want to close out the show? And
I think we'll close it out as we always do. We thank our listeners for joining us. We certainly thank you, Lee, for leading this broadcast. We want to remind our listeners that they can dial in or download a recording of today's broadcast at eugeriaradio.com. And in closing, if the youth of our nation is its greatest natural resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.